RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Chiefs football.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
And your home for Royals baseball.
Fastball hit high in the air, deep left field, way gone into the bleachers. A two-run homer for Bobby Witt Jr.
Watch The Drive by subscribing on our YouTube channel or listen on demand with the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This show is always going to stand on principles. Dippin' Dots are incredible. Red Lobster is the best restaurant that America has to offer. And baked beans are trash.
You're listening to Kansas City's FM Sports Station, 96.5 The Fan. Here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here. This is Rob and I's last show for 2025. We're going to take a couple of days. We're going to rest up. We're going to relax. We're going to spend time with family. We'll be back next Monday to recap the entire regular season in the National Football League. We'll know all of the playoff teams and matchups and all of those things. But you know what? We got one more show left in 2025. So why don't we make the best of it? I told you guys yesterday that we were going to go through some of my favorite stories that we had throughout the course of the year. Oh, we're really doing it today. We're not taking any of these stories with us to 2026. We'll have new stories, fresh stories. But this is the last day that we can go back and talk about things like this.
A couple's seven-year-long love story. They tied the knot in May of this year, but it was quite the journey to get there. Luke first proposed to Sarah back in 2018. They had only been dating for 6 months, and Sarah wasn't ready to take that next step, but they continued dating. Luke went on to propose. I feel like you need to sit down before I tell you this.
I'm sitting.
He proposed 43 times.
I'm about to stand up and walk away.
43 different times before she finally said yes.
Mm-mm.
Some of those proposals involved castles, horseback riding, many fancy restaurants.
Can you imagine laying next to a person who you have communicated to them that you want to spend your life with this person, you love this person, and you can't see a future without them, and they told you no 40 consecutive times? Rob, I don't even have the math right here in front of me. How often, how frequent are you proposing if you were in a seven-year relationship and it took you 42 times to eventually get a yes? I mean, you're proposing every 6 weeks. You're proposing every quarter, and the person keeps telling you no. This is not a story of persistence. Not at all. This is not a story of somebody who stayed at it and eventually broke through. This is the story of a sad, lonely man. And trust me, we got a day full of those kind of stories here on The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Rob is here taking you up until 6 o'clock again. This is our last show in 2025. Happy to be here with you. I need you guys to do me a couple of favors as we wind down the year. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I don't need you to do any more work than you already are doing. No one wants to be at work this week. Nobody. Me, you, Rob. Nobody wants to be at work this week. But we're here. We got to. You got bills to pay. You got a mortgage to pay. So you don't got to do anything for me. Just make sure that you have a happy and safe holiday. And number three, and most importantly, remember that the open of the show each and every day is brought to you by our friends over at The Other Place. Stop in, grab yourself a bite to eat, grab yourself something to drink. We got college football playoff games. We got NFL elimination games. We got a busy weekend in the world of sports. Rob, this is where I would like to begin the show today. I'd like to begin the show with this. There is no MVP in the National Football League this year. Well, Carrington, what about, yes, that includes that individual too. If you were telling me that we have narrowed it down to Matthew Stafford, who is having a phenomenal season, I don't want to act like Stafford is not having a great year. Right now, Matthew Stafford is the quarterback of the sixth seed in the NFC. That's who we're giving the MVP award to? Or on the other side of the coin, it is giving the MVP award to Drake May, who has had a fantastic sophomore season. But does anybody think that Drake May has been the most valuable player in the league? Does anybody think that he has been the best player at the league? Do you think that Drake May has been the best quarterback in the National Football League? No. I understand that every year we have to give out an MVP award, but sometimes the MVP is very obvious who it is. Oh, yeah, it's Patrick Mahomes this year. Oh, yeah, it's Lamar Jackson. It's Tom Brady. It's Aaron Rodgers. Those guys have been a cut above the rest. That has not been the case this year in the National Football League. Neither one of these guys deserve to win the NFL MVP. So as I'm watching Monday Night Football yesterday, and I see Matthew Stafford throw three interceptions, and one of them was a pick six, and the Rams lose a game to the 6-9 hapless Atlanta Falcons. And as I watch Drake May this season play Buffalo two separate times, and Drake May did not throw a touchdown against the second best team in his own division, I am here to tell you that this year we should just take a break from the MVP award. The same reason how every year we don't need a dunk contest in the NBA, and some years it's like, why are we doing this? Why are we here? I feel the exact same way when it comes to this year in the MVP. Now, Rob, I know you are going to look at me very funny, but if San Francisco ends up being the one seed, Christian McCaffrey was the most valuable player this year in the National Football League. He leads his team in rushing. He leads his team in receiving yards. And for a team that basically had two quarterbacks split time throughout the course of the season, Mac Jones made eight starts and Brock Purdy has made eight starts so far this season. The one constant in their offense has been Christian McCaffrey. Now, I understand they are not giving Christian McCaffrey the award, and this has not been some all-time great running back season from him either. But if we are saying who was the most valuable and important to their team's success, if San Francisco gets the one seed, then I think the answer is Christian McCaffrey. But we decided a long time ago that only quarterbacks can win the award. So these are the two quarterbacks that we get this year. I mean, you can't give it to Bo Nix. You can't give it to Trevor Lawrence. You can't give it to Sam Darnold. Jalen Hurts hasn't played well enough. Oh, well, we got to hand it to one of you guys. Let's give it to the second year quarterback as we were trying to build him up and make him a more interesting story. That is clearly how this story is going to go. But I noticed something as I was getting ready for the show and I was going through their numbers. You cannot make a Drake May was a better quarterback this year over Matthew Stafford argument. Matthew Stafford has thrown 12 more touchdowns than Drake May. He has fewer interceptions this year. He has a higher quarterback rating. He has clearly been the better quarterback out of those two, even though I think Drake May is now going to win NFL MVP. I realized it. In the same way that we have no clarity when it comes to the MVP conversation in the National Football League, we have no clarity on really anything. You know what I determined after watching this past week in the National Football League? Every team is the Philadelphia Eagles. The Philadelphia Eagles could absolutely win the Super Bowl. None of us would be sitting here the Monday after the Super Bowl and stunned that Philadelphia was in it and or won the Super Bowl. I don't know how you could be. You won it last year. You've got a quarterback who has navigated this path before, a head coach that has done it. You certainly have the talent and the defense. No one would be surprised if Philadelphia is the last team standing. Philadelphia right now in the first round of the playoffs would also play the San Francisco 49ers and the Los Angeles Rams, and no one would be stunned if the Rams went to Philadelphia and beat them in the first round of the playoffs. Now, you might be saying right now, Carrington, you can say that about everybody. No, you're right. If you remove the two playoff spots that are up for grabs in the AFC North and the NFC South, every team is the Philadelphia Eagles. Every team from Denver all the way to Buffalo could find themselves in San Francisco for the Super Bowl. Every team that we have talked about as a playoff team this season could also lose in the wild card round in absolutely heartbreaking fashion. Would anyone be surprised if the New England Patriots lost to the Buffalo Bills at home in the first round of the playoffs? I don't know how you can be. Buffalo just beat them in their building 2 weeks ago. Would anybody be surprised if the Los Angeles Chargers went on the road and beat Jacksonville in the first round of the playoffs? We just talked about Philadelphia and the Rams. Right now it's lining up. That could be the 3-6 matchup. The 2-7 matchup in the NFC could be the Bears and the Packers, two teams that played incredibly close in both of their matchups this year. And you could argue that Green Bay should have swept Chicago if not for a bobbled onside kick by Romeo Doubs. Every team is the Eagles. Every team is Buffalo. Every team is the Los Angeles Chargers. None of these teams are good. No team is the favorite. No team is the underdog. No player is the NFL MVP. We're just watching football this year for vibes. And which one of these teams can lock in over the next month and limit turnovers, limit mistakes, run the football effectively, get after the other team's quarterback, play great defense? Whichever two teams figure out a way to do that the best over the next month of the season, those are going to be the ones watching Bad Bunny at the halftime show. That's it. That's where we are in this year in the National Football League. None of us know anything. We've been sitting here now for 4 months. We've been watching the NFL. 4 months we've been watching them. None of us have any answers when it comes to any of these teams. You like somebody. I like somebody. You think this team stinks. I like that team. None of us knows. My guess is just as good as yours because we have no information on these teams. I think Philadelphia could go to the Super Bowl. I don't know if they're good at all. Their quarterback has had two games this season in which he has thrown for 0 yards in the second half of the game. How is that even possible? How can you be the starting quarterback, have Saquon Barkley, Dallas Goedert, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and you can't complete a pass in the final 30 minutes of the game? It makes absolutely no sense. We'll continue to talk NFL. This is our last show of 2025. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Today is our final show of the year. I'm going to be off the rest of the day, or rest of the year. Rob is also going to be off the rest of the year. We planned on doing shows the entire week if the Chiefs were in it, but the Chiefs are not. And I love being here with you guys. I think you know that. But coming in here on Friday to help break down Chiefs and Raiders, the boss man just said, no, you're good. Rob, you know, I didn't have any scheduled days off. I was locked in. I was ready to go. But then the Chiefs got eliminated on December 4th. And then it was, well, I don't know what to do. Then they just told me I had to take the days, use them or lose them kind of days. I didn't really have a choice in the matter. We're going over some of my favorite stories of the year. Now, I don't know if I would put this one in my favorite news story, but this was a story that I remember had the text line all hot and bothered.
When Lily Moding and her husband first installed this basketball hoop for their two young boys, they thought it would be a way for their family to stay active and healthy. They never dreamed it would become a source of neighborhood drama and the subject of lawsuits and legal action from their neighbor.
I have lost so much sleep over this. It's been so stressful.
Lily says about a year ago, new neighbors moved in next door and raised concerns about the location of their basketball hoop. The Modings discovered it was about 6 inches too close to the property line, so they had it moved with the city's approval.
We had to move it to where you see right now, so that is fully approved by the zoning board.
But it didn't end there. The neighbor filed a restraining order against Lily's husband, which was dismissed with prejudice. They've now filed a civil lawsuit against the family and the city of St. Louis Park, all stemming from this hoop.
I have a sense of dread because we've just been under attack for a year.
The neighbor also asked the court for a temporary injunction to prevent the boys from playing basketball in their own driveway throughout the summer months, citing safety concerns and that kids are trespassing by fetching balls that bounce onto their property. Lily tells me they set limits on what time their kids can play.
Like 20 minutes and then they're off to do something else. So we truly don't feel like we're being unreasonable about any of this.
Now, I did reach out to the neighbor who is behind this lawsuit for comment about all of this, but haven't heard back.
Rob, you were telling me that we got people, adults that live among us, that are trying to stop the kids from going outside and playing. You know how many parents right now that are listening would love for their kids to have a joy to want to go outside in the driveway, in the street, and shoot some hoops? I mean, that was a rite of passage. You know, you get the little $100 basketball goal in the street. You know, you get some sand to weigh it down, maybe a cinder block. You run a little 3-on-3. You got to pause when a car comes through. I mean, that's a rite of passage for a young boy and girl. And now we're trying to block the youngins from going outside and playing. Anything that gets you off the iPad and gets you off the Nintendo Switch and gets you outside with some fresh air, I'm all for it. These kids don't know what it's like to drink from the garden hose. You don't know what it's like to be outside riding bikes all day, outside playing basketball, hooping. You're a little thirsty. And no, you're not getting the high quality Fiji water. No, you got to go on the side of Tim's house and grab yourself a drink. Why are we trying to take these opportunities away from the youngins? Can you imagine you go to the court and you're trying to file an injunction so these kids can't play basketball in their own driveway? I think we throw the term Karen out for almost everything now. Like almost anything. Like you could order 12 wings. They bring you 7 of them. You say something to the, oh, don't be a Karen. Well, hold on. I paid for 12. I want the wings that I paid for. We call everybody a Karen. This is what the Karen was originally. People are minding their business, having a good time, not bothering anybody. And then somebody goes and then tries to get the police to come in and stop them from having a good time. That person is a Karen. Leave those kids alone.
This story was one that blew my brain. We did this earlier this year. The fact that they filed a lawsuit against the husband of the people with the basketball court. Good job by the courts to dismiss that. They're now claiming trespassing because the ball goes in their yard. Just let the kids play basketball. Now, if the kids were playing basketball at midnight, I'd be on your side. But hey, I don't want the kids playing basketball at 3 o'clock on a Tuesday in the summer. Stop it. Just let the kids have some fun. I cannot believe this is what happened. It's not just what, it's one thing to be mad about it. It's another thing to be filing lawsuits and injunctions. Just crazy.
If this woman lived in the Kansas City metro area, not the St. Louis metro area, what part of the city do you think she would live in?
Right where the K's going to go. Leawood.
Okay. I didn't know if you had a North Kansas City joke there. I wasn't sure. I was trying to see where you was going with that. I don't want no end of the year fisticuffs. You my guy. I didn't know when you said right where the stadium was going to go. I didn't know if you meant Washington Square Park. I didn't know. I was uncertain. Somebody on the text line said, hey, are you guys going to talk about the dig story? Well, yeah, we're going to talk about the top story in the league. You know what? Why don't we just do it now? I got a very loose rundown today. I'm going off vibes today. Did you guys know that Stephon Diggs is in another legal situation? Now, this is all alleged. I want to be clear. I don't know. I wasn't there. I can only go off what the internet is saying. Now, this person is a reporter with WBZ. That is the breaking news outlet out in Boston. That's their CBS News. So that's like their KCTV5. New details and allegations against Patriots wide receiver Stephon Diggs. He is accused of hitting and choking a woman who was allegedly working as a private chef for him. According to newly released court docs, the woman was asking for money owed to her, which enraged Stephon Diggs. Text message in court file below. Now, this is what I read earlier today. This incident happened in early December. Diggs and this woman were trying to reach a private agreement. I'm assuming something was unable to be reached. And in my opinion, somebody leaked the court documents to try to make Stephon Diggs settle. That's what it sounds to me like what happened. My brother, what is going on here? There is not a human being that has had a more tumultuous 2025 than Stephon Diggs. We don't got to go too deep into that his personal life, because that's that man's business. But we know about some of the off-the-field dealings, and now, as you're the best receiver on maybe the best team in the National Football League, your team's a potential one seed, you got a chance to go to the Super Bowl, you got a chance to have a great year, have 1,000 yards, you're having a fantastic season, you're in a relationship with one of the most famous celebrities in Hollywood. Bro, you out here running off on the chef and allegedly striking this woman? This is stupid. Please suspend him for the entirety of the postseason. I say this as somebody that has a Patriots future bet. I hate the fact that Stephon Diggs is in this situation. He costing me money. But obviously he was costing that woman money. I don't understand why celebrities do this. Why do celebrities feel like they don't have to pay? I feel like 40%, Rob, of celebrity stories are celebrity receives a service and now they don't want to pay for the service. You wanted a driver, the person drove you around, and now the person's like, hey, when am I going to get my funds? And now you acting funny with the money. You asked this person to come cook for you. The person came to cook for you. You know what you owe them. Just pay. That's all you got to do. Just pay. You got the bread. You got the money. Just give the person the money and go on about your day. Or if you got an issue and you think they overcharged you, that's why you got a contract with this individual. Handle it the legal way. Why are you talking crazy to this woman in the text messages? At least according to this, I can't even read it. It's so inappropriate what Stephon Diggs was saying to this woman. You know they're only going to release the most explosive text message conversation. Why are you cursing out and arguing with this woman that you clearly owe some money to? Now, I don't know if it's $30,000, maybe it's $100,000. I don't know how much money you owe, but you clearly owe the woman some money. Give her some money. If anything, roll over and ask your girlfriend for the money. She got it. Y'all got it between the two of you. Rob, this is nonsense. Stephon Diggs, this is stupid.
Listen, I can only go on what has been reported so far. But the idea that the chef asked about payment or was discussing payment and this enraged Diggs just doesn't make any sense to me. Now, again, there could be circumstances, variables at play that we don't know. So far, the story is, what, 4 hours old? So a lot can change. But the idea that paying your private chef for a private event enraged you just makes no sense to me. Pay them. Now, you're right. I know we just made fun of the Karen in St. Louis who was doing legal battles or a basketball hoop. But if you feel like you were charged for X and didn't receive service X, you know what you and your girlfriend can afford? Legal help to get out of this problem. It should not be enraged to the point where you're allegedly fighting someone.
And if you're Stephon Diggs, and again, I'm not here to get into that man's personal life. You can Google that man's personal life. I'm just assuming with what we know, you've dealt with lawyers in the past. You should have a lawyer on retainer. Hey, I'm having a discrepancy. Me and this person reached an agreement. I can show you we reached an agreement. I was scheduled to pay her $5,000. She's now saying I owe her $50,000. Can you go handle that? That's why you have legal counsel, to go handle things like this. I'm not arguing with you. If you got a discrepancy with me about the money, this is who you need to contact. You need to contact Peter. at this number, he will handle this. The rest on. I'm focused on what I need to do to help my team win a championship. Bro, you out here smacking and choking people before the playoffs? You're an idiot. Allegedly. I don't know if he did or he didn't, but allegedly, that's the case. Now, let's talk about his brother. I don't know as much about this situation as I know about the Stephon Diggs situation, but I would just say this one thing. This was the most obvious situation in the world to see coming. Stephon Diggs, you know what he is? He's the baseball player that hit seven home runs, and then one year woke up and hit 41 home runs, and now you paid him as a power hitter, and you disregarded everything else that he's done. Javon Diggs had one great season as an NFL corner. I mean, it was a really good season. Don't get me wrong. He had 11 interceptions back in 2021 and had two pick sixes. I mean, he was phenomenal. He was an all-pro player, a pro bowler, phenomenal. Rob, how many interceptions would you say that Javon Diggs has had since that season? So since he got 11 interceptions in 2021, he has now played 4 years in the league. How many interceptions do you think he's had since then?
It's going to be a crazy low number. So I'm going to say four. One a season.
Six.
Close.
He's had six in 4 years and hasn't had another return touchdown. That year was fake. And we should have known that year was fake when in the following season, he went from 11 interceptions to three interceptions. We should have known right then and there. Oh, that's an anomaly. That's an anomaly. I think we saw in 2021, he was a guy that gambled, had great ball skills so he could break on the ball. And once teams realized that he bites on everything trying to chase interceptions, he started getting barbecue chicken alert is what he started doing. This was not hard to see with Javon Diggs. Not at all. Now, some team's going to pick him up. Now, I'm not interested in picking him up on his current contract, but if you're going to pick up Javon Diggs and you're going to claim him as a free agent and he can help you in the postseason, yeah, why not? Pay him the veteran minimum, and if he can help you, cool. If he can't help you, then no worries. But, I mean, you don't get a chance to add a player like this who has made two Pro Bowls and is 27 years old. You don't get a chance to add a guy like that right before you go to the playoffs. Hey, even if you don't know the defensive scheme, just play man. We're going to put you in man-covered situations. Don't worry about zone. Don't worry about our calls. We're either going to have you blitzing the quarterback or we're going to have you playing man against somebody and see if you can hold up in that scenario. This is a no-brainer dice roll if you are a contending team, if you don't have to assume his contract. I assume that nobody is claiming him off waivers. That makes him a free agent. If you think he's healthy, I'm bringing him in and I'm seeing if he can help us do something.
I agree. Someone's going to take the dice roll. But that dice roll is going to look a lot like Melvin Gordon's time with the Chiefs. Now, if you've forgotten Melvin Gordon's time with the Chiefs, it was because he sat in the practice squad every game and watched in street clothes. The Chiefs took a dice roll on a washed running back. It didn't work out. But the stats you just laid out, why would you put him out there? He's barbecue chicken alert.
Barbecue chicken alert.
I mean, someone's going to take the dice roll once he clears waivers, but I don't know he's going to play a meaningful or a singular snap period this upcoming postseason. This reeks of who's a meddling team. Not bad, but meddling. We usually use the Saints, for our example. Let's use the Saints.
We always use the Saints. The Saints are actually playing kind of good football the last couple of weeks, so the Saints haven't been that bad. The Saints are going to be a very popular team in 2026 100%. To make the postseason.
That's their division, too. But let's just say the Saints will pick him up to a future contract and then he'll get cut in August. That's what his future holds. I don't think he's a postseason player.
I think he's playing in the postseason.
I don't think he's picked up by a postseason team. I don't think he plays a snap.
I think what you're going to see is no team is going to claim him on waivers and a team is going to sign him specifically for the postseason. And if you can help us, cool. But if you're going to pay him the veteran minimum, it's no money for you to pay him for the next 4 months of work, none. To me, there's no reason not to ask Javon Diggs if he thinks he can help you in really any capacity. So today we are going to go through some of my favorite stories that we talked about throughout the course of the year. I told Rob to pull a handful of them, so boy, do we have a lot of them. Now, I want to be very clear before we play this next story. I don't have a problem with tipping. I really don't. I know we laugh and we joke. I don't have a problem with tipping. But I do think there has now turned into a sense of entitlement when it comes to tipping that I just don't want to be a part of.
90% of Americans now believe tipping culture is out of control. That's what a new WalletHub survey found. Many believe businesses are shifting the responsibility of employee compensation onto customers through tips instead of paying employees a living wage. Now, consumers have reported feeling pressure to tip workers, including at counter service restaurants, self-service kiosks, and even medical offices. So what do you think? Is tipping culture out of control?
All right. I already know the text line, oh, you're just being cheap. Oh, you're just being cheap. Okay, that's fine. We have now reached a point in American society where they are asking you to tip for everything. Almost any service that somebody does for you. Oh, you want to leave a tip? No. Why? What am I leaving you a tip for? Wait, you're telling me that I called in the order, I then drove in my car to come pick up the order, and now I got to give you a tip for what? Because you cooked it? That's the deal that we've reached. I'm coming to your establishment to buy food. I understand if I'm sitting down and I'm taking up a table and somebody is waiting on me. You want me to give you a tip at Five Guys for what? The burger's already $9 anyway. You want a tip on top of it? I got to tip the Uber driver for what? I agreed to a price on the app that I want to ride. Now I got to leave that person a 5-star review. I got to leave him a tip. We're asking a lot here. I'm serious. I know. Oh, Carrington, you're being cheap. Okay, that's fine. 90% of Americans are on my side. I don't mind tipping. You go to a nice restaurant, you sit down, they take your order. I get it. I'm happy to tip. I'm happy to tip on certain things. Hey, the guy comes out, he cuts your grass. Hey, you did a good job, man. Here's a little something, something. I don't mind doing that. There's an expectation for you to tip at almost every single turn. Hell, even at the grocery store, they ask you to leave a tip now. They're not asking it for the workers, but they always, hey, you want to leave a dollar to Teamsters? No, I don't want to leave a dollar to Teamsters. No, I'm not giving Harvesters. I just spent $132 in here. Now you want another dollar or two? Why don't y'all donate a dollar or two to the Teamsters? It's getting ridiculous. You're probably a part of this, Rob.
I am not a part of this. I will say, when tipping culture first started getting bad, I was pro-tipping. I feel like it was around COVID time. Hey, I was first-team All-American. Hey, I'm coming to pick up the food. But you are a frontline worker. You're a restaurant industry person during COVID. Here's a tip. It's 2024. I did all the work. It's on the website. It's on DoorDash. I got to come in and pick it up. I'm sorry. When I go get my Chipotle, I'm not tipping. When I go get my whatever, I'm not tipping. There are definitely times where I will tip. If I'm at a restaurant and I get good service, I'm tipping. If I'm at a bar, I'm tipping. But the kiosk ones, no. Sometimes the self-service ones, no.
Bro, sometimes I don't even understand the bar. Let's say that you get a bottle of beer. Like, let's say you and I, a couple of days ago, we went out to the other place and watched Thursday Night Football. I got a bottle of Miller Lite. A bottle. You didn't pour it. You didn't get me a cup. You didn't get a draft. You reached in the beer fridge. You opened it. You handed me the, I got to give you a tip off the Miller Lite bottle. There's an expectation now that I owe you a dollar. Well, let me go back there and get it. I'll do it. You didn't mix me a cocktail. You handed me a can of beer. That's worth a dollar now for you to hand it to me? All I'm saying is we're asking for a tip on everything. I'm serious. We're asked for a tip on every service that somebody does for you. There is now an expectation that you need to tip that person. I'm sorry, it's too much.
I will say my least favorite part, it's not just the tipping. It's when they hand you the little thing that has your card in it. They're like, hey, it's going to ask you a question. I know what the question is, and it's in your hand. You can see me clicking yes or no on the tip. There's like this social obligation getting bullied into it. Hey, it's going to ask you a question. Like, I have KU season tickets. I talked about before. I go get a hot dog, and it's like, hey, it's going to ask you a question. You handed me a hot dog in foil. I'm not moving from 864 to 10. No.
For sure. I'm telling you.
And you can see I'm clicking no, and they stare at me like I'm in the wrong. I'm sorry. No, I'm not tipping on a hot dog at Allen Fieldhouse.
Yo, I'd be so mad. Like, when you go to, like, a Royals or a Chiefs game, hold on here. You're telling me that I already know you're finessing me. You're charging me $7 for this thing of popcorn, and now you're asking if I want to give... No, the billion-dollar company that you work for needs to give you this tip. I'm serious. What I feel like is happening is they don't want to pay their employees, so now they have passed on the we need to pay their employees. that you only want to give Sally $8.25 an hour, and your hope is that I'm going to get her up to a $17 an hour because a $2 here, $2 here, and now you can make a livable wage. No, why don't you just give them that from the very beginning? We shouldn't be applauding Taylor Swift giving random people at the Chiefs money. Clark Hunt should be giving random people at the Chiefs money. He should be walking around handing $600 out to random employees. Why do customers got to be tipping? That don't make no sense to me. I'm all for helping out our people. I'm serious. I don't want anybody to make it seem like I'm not pro-tip. Yes, help people out. I get it. I'm happy to tip. We've gotten extreme when it comes to it. Every single everything you do, there's an expectation for a tip now. Every single time. It's like, bro, what are we? Why am I giving you a tip for? I got to give you, you want me to add an extra 20 cents here at Quick Trip? For what? I walked in here. Just hand me the lottery ticket. Why? I got to give you an extra 20% for that? I don't make any sense. I'm serious. It doesn't make any sense. We'll get back to the NFL coming up on the side. Rob, why don't we do this? There's three more important football games in the NFL regular season. Now, we got a whole postseason. We got three games left in the NFL. Why don't we go through those three games and give you guys our thoughts? Keep it right here. It's The Drive. It's our last show of 2025.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Tune in Mondays at 4 to hear the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Welcome back into the show. I've got some soapbox issue things that I want to complain about before the year is up. I would say that I'm going to try to be a more positive version of myself in 2026, but I don't want to set myself up for failure. I'm sure by January 8th, I'll be complaining about something new. So I'm just going to keep being who I am and accept that's who I am in life. I want to go through these three important games that we have going on. We just have three. Now, I don't want to fully go into my complaining yet. And I know that some of you, your stance is, as long as football is on television, you are going to be watching it, and the NFL is your favorite show. I'm telling you right now, we never needed Week 18 in the NFL season. We didn't need Week 18. Well, Carrington, look at the games that we have. Well, Seattle was always going to play San Francisco. They're in the division. They have to play each other twice. Carolina was always going to play Tampa Bay a second time. All of these games at the end of the season are divisional games that were happening anyway. We have not added anything to our football experience. It's just more. But I'm not ready to completely get on my soapbox just yet.
Hey, it's George Karlaftis.
I was like, hold on, what happened? I was like, I know I heard those. I was like, what happened? Rob canceled me. I was like, well, I was confused. I was like, was I on the air? I was very confused there for a second. All right, Rob, let's start with this. Can you tell me why Tampa Bay is favored? Can you give me an honest answer watching the National Football League? Why a team who has won one time since Halloween and they are 1-7 in their last 8 games? Can you tell me why they're favored against anybody in the last month of games? Tampa Bay has lost to all other 3 teams in the NFC South and also went on the road and lost to the Miami Dolphins, who have very little to play for. Can anybody explain to me why Tampa Bay is favored in this game when, in my opinion, they have done absolutely nothing to be favored in this game? Carolina is better than they are. Carolina just beat them a couple of weeks ago. They are playing better and a more consistent team. We got to let go of Tampa Bay and the team that they were in week 5. We got to let that go. That's not the team that's currently playing for them anymore. I know we like Baker Mayfield and they got guys on their team that we know, but I'm here to tell you that that team is like the Grinch. Stink, stank, stunk. That is an awful football team. There's no reason for them to be favored in this game. They got to beat somebody else. Yes, I will take Carolina plus money. Maybe I end up being wrong, but Mitch Holtz has said this yesterday. You can't turn winning on and off. You can't lose every game for the last 2 months and now tell me when it really matters you're going to figure out a way to win. No, you ain't been figuring out this whole time. This division was right there for the taking if you were Tampa Bay. There's no reason for Tampa Bay to have a losing record, not with the schedule and not with the division that they have given the talent. I know they had injuries. Everybody in the National Football League has dealt with injuries this year. There's no reason for Tampa Bay to be the favorite in this game. Give me Carolina on the road.
I agree with you, and I'm not trying to defend the logic here because I fully believe you are correct. Is it as simple as Vegas doesn't know what to do with the Panthers? Because I think the Panthers are better than the Bucks, but are the Panthers good? And to win in the NFL on the road, you kind of have to be good, or you have to be playing just the dregs of the NFL. Like, the Panthers look better. They've won some important games recently. They looked bad last week against a team that I think is very good in Seattle. Came into Charlotte, thumped them. It feels like Bryce Young is Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Whichever one you consider the good one, he's that. And then the next week, he's the other one. The Panthers are not a great team. And I wonder if, hey, we think they're mediocre. We think the Bucks are mediocre. The Bucks are at home and they have the pedigree of winning. We're going to favor the Bucks. I'm not saying it's good logic, but I'm trying to construe a version of life where it looks like the Bucks are favored at home.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with what you're saying, and I think you're probably right that the public, if you were telling me between those two teams, I like Baker Mayfield, I don't know Bryce Young. This one team has offensive weapons and pieces that I do know. They made the playoffs the last couple of years. Yeah, the public still thinks very highly of Tampa Bay when they have been given no evidence of why they should think highly about Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is losing this game and firing their coach at the end of the... That's what our Monday conversation when we come back is how Tampa Bay finished the year 7-10 and why Todd Bowles is out and how desirable is the Tampa Bay job. I'm here to tell you that's how the story ends for them. On Saturday night, we have Seattle and San Francisco. Man, it is funny how wasn't Sam Darnold in this exact same position last year? Like, I'm not crazy, right? We lived through that. This time a year ago, wasn't Sam Darnold in a game where if he won, his team was going to be the 1 seed, and if they lose, they were going to be the 5 or the 6 seed and then go on the road in the postseason? Like, I'm sure that that happened. Very simple when it comes to Seattle. I can't say it any more simplistic than this. Win this game, we will believe in you. Lose this game, no one will believe in you. They're the favorites? Okay. I'll take San Francisco plus money at home and feel very, very good about it. Better quarterback, better coach, better weapons, a more diverse offense. I'm surprised in a game that really means everything that Sam Darnold is the favorite between he and Brock Purdy for seemingly no reason. I know the people like Seattle right now. They're the betting favorite in the NFC to represent them in the Super Bowl. I'm sorry. Seeing is believing with Sam Darnold. I'm on the other side. Give me San Francisco. I think they're going to be the 1 seed. I think they take care of business.
So first and foremost, I want to get this off my chest. Why did the NFL put this game on Saturday night? This is the best game of the weekend.
Not even close.
I don't know why Ravens and Steelers, because of the lure and the AFC North and Smash Mouth football and blah, 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 blah.
This is
blah,
the
blah.
Argument I think I could make.
This game's better.
I agree with you, though. But I think the argument would be is there's still a safety net for one of those two teams. If San Francisco loses, they're not out of it. They're just going to be the wild card team. Same thing for Seattle. That is the only game in which it is 100%. There's only one possible outcome. The winner makes it to the playoffs and the loser is out of it. So it's the only true technical playoff game. It's really the unofficial start of the NFL playoffs. So I'm with you. I'd much rather watch Seattle and San Francisco if those are my two options. And I do agree with you. That's the game of the week. That has to be their logic. It could be Aaron Rodgers' last game and it's the only true win or go home scenario in week 18.
I mean, I guess. Last year, you mentioned Sam Darnold's in this exact same situation. Last year, Vikings at Lions, winner's the one seed, loser is a six seed, 2-14-2 teams, Sunday Night Football. This year, very similar circumstances, Saturday night on ESPN. It just feels like that game got relegated to a spot it shouldn't be. I am going to tell you this. I have been buying Seattle stock all season long. I like their head coach. I really like their defense. They do a lot of things well. I thought they were DOA in that Rams game. They came all the way back and won. You do not want to face that team in Seattle. I think Seattle's going to go win this game. I think Seattle's the better team, and the only reason people like you or national media types or whoever are doubting the Seahawks is because they're quarterback. But Sam Darnold is not that much worse than Brock Purdy. They are, if you were to do a tier system of quarterbacks, they're on the same tier. Neither one of them are Mahomes or Allen, but they're probably in that second tier. Maybe you trust the Niners more because they're at home, but I like the Seahawks to get a win, and I think Seattle could be a real problem if you have to go to whatever the name of that field is now up in Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, Seattle fooled me once. Sam Darnold has fooled me once. You can't be fooled again. I'm not being fooled again when it comes to them. Sunday Night Football, the last game of the regular season, Ravens and Steelers. To me, this is the Who Cares Bowl. I mean, I don't really care. Honestly, the only intrigue for me in this game is what happens to the losing coach. That's the only intrigue for me. If Mike Tomlin and the Steelers lose this game at home, and they had two chances to win their division at the end of the season, and they lost to Cleveland, who has absolutely nothing to play for, and they lose at home to the Baltimore Ravens with still no clarity on if their starting quarterback is going to be there, we know that the fans have grown restless with Mike Tomlin, and is there going to be enough pressure from the fan base to do something with him? That's the only intrigue for me in this game. Sure, we'll watch it. It's an NFL playoff game. It's on television. I mean, it's really the only game of real intrigue on Sunday, so you got to watch some football on Sunday. But yeah, whichever one of these teams is losing in the first round of the playoffs, so what does it really matter?
Again, not trying to get me on my soapbox for the last show of the year, but this game might not even have Lamar. I mean, Aaron Rodgers at 41 against Snoop Huntley is more exciting than Sam Darnold and Brock Purdy. Just, you're right. I'm more excited about Monday morning than I am about Sunday Night Football. Let's see if Mike Tomlin or John Harbaugh have a job, because a week from yesterday is going to be Black Monday in the NFL. It's firing day. You think Todd Bowles is going to get fired? I think the loser, or even maybe the winner of this game, is fired, and then we're going to have, if it's John Harbaugh, an offseason of, well, what do you do with Lamar? Does he get along with Coach X conversations? And the Steelers are going to be maybe in full rebuild if they fire Tomlin without Rodgers. Like, the intrigue in this game to me is just what team is a week away from the offseason, because both are offseason intrigue. Again, we don't have to belabor it. I don't understand why this game's Sunday Night Football. Snoop Huntley and Aaron Rodgers at 41, pass. Pass, pass, pass.
You know what? It won't be a whole lot of that in the game, which you were talking about. It will not be a lot of that. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're really excited to be joined by Dave Helling. He works with the Kansas City Star. I want to talk to somebody who can speak to the money when it comes to the Star bonds and how Kansas is going to fund the stadium. A lot of people think that Kansas got a bad deal. I'm curious how Dave Helling feels about that. We'll do all that next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.